Women over 55 are the fastest growing cohort experiencing homelessness in Australia. And there's a push for this group to seek alternative living arrangements, something like a share house, but with systems in place to help iron out the challenges of living with strangers. Because let's face it, the things that were fun, maybe even a bit exciting when you were sharing accommodation at uni, like meeting new people or learning to manage the conflict with the housemate who hates doing the dishes, aren't so fun and exciting in your 60s. The system is called a home share. New research shows how this has worked for women in Queensland, but despite having a role to play in preventing homelessness and addressing the housing crisis, it's a system that doesn't neatly fit into housing laws or homelessness supports. So what is it? How could it help prevent older women from becoming homeless? Well, you're about to hear from two people very close to this issue, but I'd love to hear from you too. Have you found yourself sharing a roof with other people in your later years? How have you navigated this kind of living arrangement? With me is Dr. Lyndall Bryant, the lead author of this research paper. She's with the Queensland University of Technology. Lyndall, welcome back to Life Matters.
Good morning, Tegan. Thanks for having me on.
So what's the difference between a home share and like a traditional tenancy?
Well, there's a couple of different issues to unpack. That's actually a surprisingly big question. So if I can start with, the difference between a tenant and a lodger. You wouldn't think that they were so different, but they are. So if you're a tenant, you're protected by the residential tenancy legislation in each state. It's same, but different in each state. But surprisingly, if you're a lodger in someone's home, you're not covered by that legislation and you're not considered to be a tenant. So if there are any issues, you sort of almost have no rights because you'd have to, you're only protected by common law rather than any legislative provision that you can fall back on. And that applies for both the landlord and the lodger. So it really gets quite complicated, even though it shouldn't be.
And when we're talking about maybe offering this as a solution to a group that's already pretty vulnerable, then that feels like a risk.
Oh, most definitely. And that's one of the regulatory changes that we're calling for as part of this research, is that we need to reinstate lodger rights. Canberra has it, but no other jurisdiction in Australia actually has lodgers' rights in any of their legislation. So it shouldn't be too hard, but that's one of the issues we're calling for. One of the other issues is around the financial issues, and that's around tax and pension, because the other crazy thing about that's one of the barriers for older women home sharing is the issue around if a homeowner who's on the pension potentially takes in a lodger, then they could lose part of their pension. And that just seems so counterintuitive that the reason, we've got a cost of living crisis and the pension doesn't cover very much. And if you think that they could potentially help support themselves by taking in a lodger and at the same time offering that lodger affordable accommodation, then to me that's just a win-win situation that we shouldn't have the pension system standing in the way of.
Okay, so it sounds like there's a couple of issues you've identified with it. Can we take a step back and just look at why home sharing is something that you and your colleagues have identified as being an important thing to consider?
Yeah, definitely. I guess it all started, as a lot of research ideas do, it starts with the conversation around the dinner table, around the barbecue, and with throwing around ideas like, oh, when we first left home, how did we do it? How did we survive living out of home? And majority of us rented a room in someone's home. And why don't we do more of that? And so we started really delving into that and going, well, this seems such an obvious solution. Why isn't it happening? So from there, the idea grew. And so when we're looking specifically at, where are the cohorts that are most at risk, you've got your young people and your older people. Your young people, hopefully they're starting, when they're starting their career, hopefully they've got opportunity of income growth. Whereas older people on the pension don't have that opportunity. If you think that the pension is essentially a single person pension is $600 a week, but the average rent, Brisbane, the average rent in Brisbane for a house is $700 a week.
Yeah.
So there's no opportunity of living on your own unless you're in public housing. So that's where the idea of home sharing, particularly amongst pensioners and older women who are really at risk, that's where the idea came from.
So the research paper that you've just published was based on basically looking at a pilot program. Tell me about what that did.
So we needed to, you know, establish an evidence base. We had some ideas. We'd spoken to people, but we really wanted to gather some evidence. So we partnered with Better Together Housing, which is a not-for-profit in Queensland. And what they do is they actually work in this space, and they facilitate older women with houses and spare rooms to meet older women who are interested in sharing, and they facilitate that connection. So we worked with them, and we ran a survey with some of their people, and we asked the homeowners what are the, you know, why are they interested in the concept, and what might be the barriers that's holding them back. And then we asked the people who are looking for affordable accommodation as well the same questions: what makes you interested in it, and what's holding you back? And what was really remarkable was the alignment with our thinking and the anecdotal evidence, but also that the two groups were concerned about similar things. They were concerned about, you know, what if the, you know, how do I find someone I'm compatible with? What if it doesn't work? How do I get out of it? And you know, those sort of, you know, safeguarding concerns. And the homeowners all had similar concerns about tax and around pension. So it was really consistent findings, which was great. But something that really came through that we were surprised but pleased to see, which was some of the drivers why homeowners might consider renting a room out. And it wasn't just a financial issue. Many of the respondents we had said, because it's the right thing to do. And it was just so heartwarming as a researcher to see that there is this positive sentiment in the community that people want to help. And so, you know, I think that's a really important part, that people want to do this, but this is really valid reasons why they're not doing it. And, you know, we'd just like to, for our research, to inform policymakers and try to break through some of those barriers so we can do more home sharing.
You are listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor talking to Dr. Lyndall Bryant from the Queensland University of Technology. She's the lead author of a new paper looking at home sharing as a potential option especially for older women who are the fastest growing cohort of people facing homelessness in Australia. I'm wondering if you've found yourself home sharing, especially in your later years. I'd love to know what that looks like for you. Dean says, for the last 10 years, I've lived in Melbourne in a share house. I'm 60. My son is 12. My housemates are an old punk at 70 and a jazz head at 86, plus a rescue greyhound and some chooks. We live well. Dean says, rent is $3,200. I'm assuming that's for everyone a month. Otherwise, Dean, I'm very sorry to hear it. And bills are $400 a month. Owning a home is a lottery win away. Another says, we own the house and have people live with us. We're in our 60s and have two young men live with us. One is the son of a friend and the other has been here for several years. We are coastal and accommodation is ridiculously expensive. We charge less than most. It works for us and them. They look after the pets when we are away. So someone who's doing this in a more fulsome way is Rosie Lawn, a chair of the charity, trying to bring the kind of lodging arrangement described in Lyndall's research into Australia. They're called Home Share Australia and New Zealand Alliance, HANSA for short. Rosie, welcome to Life Matters.
Yeah, thanks, Tegan. Great to be here.
Talk to me about how home share works.
As Lyndall described, it's a simple idea, and it brings together a person who has a home and a spare room, who's looking with someone who's looking for affordable housing accommodation. And in exchange for low cost accommodation, the home share provides a level of companionship and practical support. The important distinction is that at its heart, it's not just about a room; it's about a relationship. And Lyndall and Joelle's research really reinforces that people are open to sharing, particularly when they share values, social connection and mutual benefit. But it needs the right conditions for it to work.
What kind of conditions?
Well, the key conditions really are to be feeling, have an understanding that you're well matched, you know, that you have... You're potentially compatible. You share some lifestyle interests, not necessarily needing to be the same sort of lifestyles as some of your people coming in have outlined, but having an understanding of the expectations and the routines of both parties and what each person needs. But you also need those things that people understand what they're doing from the point of view of their finances and how they're going into this agreement with clear expectations. Those things all help to set up a good arrangement.
So, Rosie, we had Lindell's research looking specifically at older women. What kind of demographic do you see?
Historically, look, homeshare is not a new idea. Historically, it's been arrangements between often an older person and a younger person, so it's an intergenerational kind of living arrangement. But we also are now seeing a lot more exactly what Lindell's saying, where there's older women experiencing housing stress who are looking for affordable housing, and this is a growing cohort that we're seeing with some of the matches that are being made.
It's really interesting seeing your texts coming through. One says this issue is vitally important for people with disabilities as well, but may be severely hampered by proposed cuts to the NDIS. Another person says, to be honest, people of any age can find share housing tiring rather than fun. It's just that share housing is a housing arrangement for the poor and students tend to be poor. I'm in my 40s and live in a share house with two others. We all have various disabilities and can't work full time, so we will never own a house. We will rent forever. It's hard sometimes, this person says. I wish I could just do things the way I want without having a whole meeting about it, but I don't have a choice, so I just try my best to get along. Lindell, sharing isn't everyone's first choice, is it?
Oh, most definitely not. And we have to say from the outset, this isn't for everybody, but there can be situations where it can work. And with the housing crisis we've got at the moment, we have to be looking at solutions in every corner. We need greater choices in housing. And at the moment, the way the regulations are, it's really constrictive. So, you know, let's put this opportunity out there on the table as well. And, you know, if we've got 13 million spare bedrooms in Australia, and if you've only 1 in 10, even 1 in 100 of those spare bedrooms was offered up to a lodger, then that's 130,000. Affordable rental options out there, and you know that would go a huge way to relieving some of the rental stress we have in our system at the moment.
Well, yeah, one text here says the UK introduced a rent a room scheme several decades ago. This allows a certain level of rent being tax free and no impact on capital gains, etc. Obviously, the pension system is different there, but a scheme like that excluded this income for pensioners would not only benefit lone women, but everyone. Lindell, what kind of regulatory changes do you think could work in Australia?
Send a big thank you to that person who sent that text. we've looked at that rent-a-room scheme. So you're great. Thanks for throwing that in. So we looked at the Irish scheme and the UK scheme's very similar. So in Ireland and the UK, they actually encourage people to open their homes and rent a room. And they say there's a tax-free threshold that if you, earn rent for less than, I think it's £14,000, and it's about $500 a week. Is the equivalent. So if you're renting a room out for that sort of money, then up to that threshold, it's not deemed taxable income. So you don't have to pay tax on it. It doesn't affect capital gains. And in Ireland, they've actually introduced it. It doesn't affect your pension or your social security either. They're really innovative concepts. It's been done elsewhere in the world. It would be such a simple fix to do that in Australia. And you know, to my mind, someone would tell me different, but to my mind, it really doesn't cost the economy anything to do that. It doesn't cost the government anything to do that. There's all these informal arrangements that happen at the moment now. All the people who've been texting in saying we share a room, we rent a room out, they're probably doing that informally at the moment. So it's not like the tax departments can say, oh, we're going to lose all this income. It's just legitimising and legalising what's already happening in an informal manner and encouraging more people to do it.
Rosie, what would you like to see to help home shares become more common in Australia?
Oh, exactly what Lyndall's saying. I think, look, we with home share arrangements that are facilitated professionally, we have an agreement and we really work through with people to make those things clear about their income and what they're paying and what the responsibilities are. But it's sort of a grey area in Australia, and as Lyndall pointed out, it's not covered through tenancy. We know they're all covered through common law arrangements. So I think the whole policy environment and being clear about what happens if you get some income and what the impact is on pension will give a lot of people much more confidence. Look, people are doing it, as Lyndall said, informally, but they're also doing it with formally facilitated home share. And it is working, but it would be really helpful if some of the those barriers would open up the possibility for many more people to be confident with offering up this opportunity to people to home share.
Well, Rosie, Lyndall, thank you both so much for chatting with me today. Rosie Lawn is the chair of Home Share Australia and New Zealand Alliance. Dr. Lyndall Bryant is a senior lecturer in the Faculty of Business and Law at the Queensland University of Technology. And thank you for your texts to quite a few ideas that maybe didn't make it to fruition coming through the text line, maybe just a bit ahead of their time. One says Ensemble Housing attempted to develop a share housing rental model of five people. Ideally, this would have been a built model too, but too ahead of the curve to attract government interest. Maybe its time has come. And Beth says, in our 50s and 60s, a group of women designed Jerry Heaven for our future living place. It had small dwellings in a circle around communal eating and lounging facilities. Unfortunately, none of us had the finances to ever make it happen.
Think bigger about the world we live in. Ask your smart speaker to play ABC RN.